Leadership Your 10 this morning. I want to look at a couple of things with you this morning. Church family, we are in unprecedented days, and I know you keep hearing that. This is just an unusual time in our nation as well as the world and in our church. Church family, in order to be able to see the bigger picture of what's going on here, let me ask you a few questions. All right, you can answer out loud if you want. Question number one, I guess, would be is, do you think the virus caught God off guard?
No.
Okay, good. That's what I thought, too. Would you say that because God is all-powerful, he is the one that allowed the virus? All right, would you say that the case? How many of you would agree that because God's God, he can keep you from getting the virus?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's do the other side of that. How many thinks that because God is God, he can give you the virus?
Yeah.
All right. How many would also agree that because he's God, if you got the virus, God is still good?
Yeah.
Right, all right. And it goes without saying, but, you know, I kind of feel like that where we're at right now is this, is that God is putting Christianity through a test right now. And the test has several, all right, things. Church family, we have had more than one church member that has been approached by their employer that says if they come to church, they're going to lose their job. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. You know, this social distancing thing has caused the lost world to go berserk. And some Christians have almost panicked as well. Just tell me, I hope you understand me this morning. I am not taking light what's going on with the virus. People have died with the virus. I'm not taking light what the government says as far as what we're supposed to do. I do think that we need to keep our social distancing. But what the problem is that we're losing sight on what is God's will for our life that supersedes what anybody else says.
Right.
You know, when Peter and John were arrested in Acts chapter 5, I think it's verse number 29, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Yeah.
But you know what the problem is? That's good for Peter and John, but that's not good for us. You know, you've heard me say this verse over and over and over when there's nothing to test the truth of it. But Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 2 says that we're to obey the king in regard to the oath of God. Okay, so when I say that verse, when there is no struggle, oh, amen, that's exactly right. Now, church, I want you to understand that what is going on right now is, again, it's worldwide, but as far as our nation right now, I know that church services have shut down. Everybody's glorifying the car service thing right now. You know, we can still have church and be in our cars. And church, you know, that might happen. I'm not telling you that we won't be in our cars. I know one thing, I'm coming to church.
Amen.
I have nowhere to go. I live here. All righty? So, but do you understand that, you know, in our nation right now, as soon as this took place, churches canceled. I did not say had another service. I said they canceled church. Done. Zero. There are other churches that went the internet route where we're going to do our services online. But to be honest with you, and this is Scott Hanks speaking, what bothers me is by these internet services, they did that for about 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, we got to change this up. And I want to tell you what the problem is. They have no tithes and offerings coming in. This church is not about money. Your tithes and offerings is what you do because that's what God commanded you to do. Then you went from the internet services to several churches that have done the multiple services because of having 10 or less. And by the way, I'm for all of this. If you can't have church, and in the dictates of being a pastor of a church, if that's what you need to do, do something. So what happened is there's some churches that you come in, your designated time is to come in at 2 o'clock on Sunday, yours is at 3 o'clock, yours is at 4, and they're having groups of 10, and they're doing these. And I'm for that. Be honest with you, I'm for the car services, in the sense that if you can't do anything else and God lets you do that, then you at least come together and do what God... I want to tell you, this is a test upon Christianity that will affect us for generations. God tarries his coming for generations and generations to come.
That's right.
I promise you. That when you and I are dead and our children are raised up, they will never forget this time. Now, by the way, they will never forget they were in a church that had church. And they will never forget that they came. They grew up in a family that believed in church and brought their kids to church. They will not forget this day, I promise you. But can I tell you that there is a generation that is right now being taught without being spoken to by example and not by word. And church family, we're not in Illinois, we are not in California, and we are not in Michigan. We are in Kansas. And I'm thankful that we're in Kansas. And I can't speak for any other church, and I can't speak for any other state, but I'm just telling you that where we're at in Kansas, there was no reason for the governor to make a law against churches. Zero reason. It's lies. If you listen to the recordings, you're going to find out that there were not three clusters, there were really two, and one of their clusters was two people. When somebody asked them what makes up a cluster, they said usually six or more, but they categorized the cluster as two people dying. This thing has been, in our state, and I can't tell you as far as the country, but it has been fluffed up. It is real. We should be careful. We should do that. But can I tell you something? To attack churches as if we're the problem, that is not the case. Now, I'm trying to get into that in depth, and I don't mean to tonight, or this morning, I'm not going to. But I've had several people ask me why we have in church. I'm not talking about from this church, per se. To be honest with you, I don't know that anybody from our church has asked us why we're having church. I think you figured it out. Amen. We're having church because that's what God wants us to do. But I have had people call me and text me. Good people. Our church is criticized, not by the lost world, though the lost people have already gone by and taken pictures this morning, just to let you know. They're taking pictures of the parking lot. They're calling the police right now. But just, I can understand that from lost people. I can't understand that from saved people. You know the people that want to criticize us having church are the people who are Christians who are not having church. If you're the pastor of a church and God dictates for you to enter a church, then you do what God dictates you to do. You are not my servant. You're God's servant. You do what God tells you to do. But if God tells the Heritage Baptist Church that we're supposed to have church, then don't criticize us for having church. Now, this morning, I postponed this message because I kept asking the Lord if we were supposed to do it, and I have liberty this morning that this is what the Lord wants for us tonight. I want to answer the question because it deserves an answer. Why do we go to church? That's the bottom line. Just, I mean, you came to church this morning, and I'm very, very thankful that you came this morning. But why did you come? Do you understand that there's young people that are raised in Christian homes that they don't even know why they're going to church? Hebrews chapter 10 now, follow me. Let's read a couple verses and jump right into this morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, church family, when he says the holiest, he's referring to the tabernacle. You had the holy place and the holiest, holy of holies. And the only person that could get into the holy of holies was the priest one day a year on the Day of Atonement with blood. And the reason he could go into the holiest of holies is because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was the box that they had, God had three things inside of, and they had a mercy seat on top of it with two cherubims that were statues that were on both sides of it, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down in a cloud and rest upon the mercy seat, and once in a year, that priest would come in, and he would go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, the holy place, holiest place, because he was going to meet with God, but he could not do it without blood. What was that a picture of? It's a picture that now we don't need a priest to go to God for us. We have direct access to God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you got saved, Jesus' blood covered your sin and gave you access to the throne of God that you would not have had except for Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse number 20. By a new and living way, which he hath, now again, he's referring to Old Testament, New Testament, by a new and living way. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to have the blood of an animal. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having, verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. Right? The house of God is mentioned three times, actually four, but three times in Scripture is talking about a literal place. It's talking about the tabernacle that was called the house of God. That was the Old Testament portable place of worship. You had the temple that was a permanent place of worship for God's people, the children of Israel. And then you have what the Bible talks in the book of Timothy as the church, and that's the house of God. All right? And church family, if we have to meet outside, the church is still meeting. All right? It's not the building. It's not the structure. It's God's people. Now look what he says next. Verse number 22. What's the first two words of verse 22? What's the first two words of verse 23? And then, of course, it's the first three words of verse 24. All right? So three things are supposed to take place at the house of God. All right, that's what he said. And by the way, he didn't say the pastor was supposed to do it. He said, let us do it. Okay, look what he says now. All right, here's what he says. Quickly, I'm not going to preach this morning. I just want to point this out because I've got a message. Verse 22, let us, what should you do at the house of God? Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Church, I'm not going to preach on this morning, but I want you to notice this morning, the reason you came to church is so you could draw closer to God. Amen. Let us draw near. Reason, I didn't come to church so you could see what I'm wearing for my Easter outfit. I came to church because this is where we draw near to God. And I know, you say, Pastor, we can draw near anywhere, and that is true. But there's something about the house of God that causes us to draw closer to Him. He goes on to say in verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. How many of you are saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
You know why I had to come to church? Because it helps you to hold fast that profession of your faith. In other words, I'm professing that I'm a Christian. You came to church to show you were one. It's the profession of my faith. Why do we join together as believers? Because it shows I'm a believer. It's the profession of my faith. Look what he says next, verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Alrighty? The idea there is, again, we would help others by our example. Again, putting a word with each one, I think verse 22 is talking about worship. I think verse 23 is talking about our witness. And I think verse 24 is talking about our work. It's talking about this is what the church is about. It's about worship. It's about witnessing. And it's about work. That's what church is about. But I want you to notice what he says next. Verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Just remember, I am astounded that since this virus has taken place, independent Baptist preachers have put online that not forsaking the assembly of yourselves is not referring to going to church. And they have spent elaborate time on the internet to explain how people who do gather are taking this verse out of context. And they are using excuses for why there are certain times it's okay to miss church. Let your family, if you're sick, stay home. All right? Yeah, I would say that's a good reason not to come to church if I'm sick. All right? Another reason to stay home. If you're dead, stay home. There's some good reasons not to come to church. But church, I mean, do you understand that not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together is not some verse that God did not mean when he put it in the context of the Old Testament tabernacle? He said, just like they came down to the Old Testament tabernacle, I think it's Exodus 25, verse number 8, God said, I'm going to make a sanctuary where I can meet with my people. And I want to tell you something, the New Testament church is a place that God meets with his people. And that's why he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, this morning, I want to just give you some things this morning. And I know this is going to sound topical, but I want to tell you, why do we go to church? Because I want to tell you, there are a bunch of people today, they don't know why they're going to church. And I think we need to go back and understand, okay, with all this going on, you know, church family, if you listen to me this morning, I'm doing my best to hurry. Do you understand that if you were in China, we could not be doing what we're doing right here except to be underground? If you're in Vietnam, you couldn't have church. If you were to have church, you would have to sneak. You would have to find a place where you come in separately. You'd have to try to put this thing together. Now, I want you to understand, you know what's going on right now? It's a deciding factor on whether or not am I supposed to go to church or not. I want you to think about this. I only have 25 points, so stay with me. Why do we go to church? Number one, we go to church because of God's command to assemble. When God said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsake, I just want to tell you what the word forsake means. It doesn't mean what all these dinglings are saying right now because they want to excuse why they're not in church. It actually means not to desert or to leave. Not forsake it. In the Old Testament, we would have that example in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments in verse number 8 when he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I know that we don't recognize the Sabbath. It says Saturday. But it was a new Old Testament example of the New Testament principle. You know, I get a kick out of people, today's Easter Sunday. And so what happens is everybody wants, Happy Easter! Church, I mean, did it ever dawn on you that Easter Sunday is Resurrection Sunday? And has that ever dawned on you that the reason we call it Resurrection Sunday is because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week? And has it ever dawned on you that we do not need one day out of the year called Easter Sunday to remember resurrection because God gave us 52 Sundays out of the year to remember that he resurrected? We come to church in honor of his resurrection. That's why we come to church. God commanded us to go to church. There's a lot of commands that I do not obey personally. And I have a Holy Spirit like you that convicts me of those things. When I don't pass a gospel track and I have an opportunity to witness, the Holy Spirit convicts me. When I don't read my Bible like I should, the Holy Spirit convicts me. When I don't pray for the church family like I should, the Holy Spirit convicts me. And you know why he convicts me? Because I'm breaking a command. Jeremy, do you understand that when I don't go to church, it's a command. Not forsaking the assembly. It's a command. God wants us to be in church. Now, second thing, why do we go to church? Number two, because the New Testament example. Jeremy, again, I don't know how much to take you to this morning, but do you understand that the New Testament example is, number one, that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, but if you follow it through John 20, verse 19, Jesus is now ascended up into heaven. Jesus had just done and rose from the dead, excuse me. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. I wonder where that word assembled came from. Maybe it came from not forsaking the assembling. Do you understand that the New Testament pattern, as soon as Jesus dies and raises from the dead, the very first thing the apostles does is on the very next Sunday. Jesus rises from the dead on a Sunday, first day of the week. The very next Sunday, guess what? They gather together. The New Testament example, the Corinthian church was told in 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He said to the Corinthian church, he said, listen, on the first day of the week, don't forget to bring your gathering, bring your tithes and offering. He said that there be no gatherings when I come. He was referring to that they would meet together as an assembly, as a church. Church, I know that the day could come, if God tarries his coming, that we would have to go underground. But we don't have to go underground. Ben is in Africa right now, and if they leave their houses, the police are carrying sticks and can beat them. You don't have that when you walk out. David is in Panama, and he cannot leave his house except for a two-hour window every day based upon his social security number, and if he's found out, he can be arrested. We don't have that. If you were in China and you were found having services, they can put you on a blacklist and they can take you and make you leave the country to never come back again if you're an American. Just for having church. No one's going to send you out of our country because you show up for church. I'm thankful that I'm an American. I'm thankful that I was raised in a Christian home. But church family, we don't have to fight to have church. I know we don't want to fight. But church, what are you going to do if persecution comes? This is the mildest form of persecution. I and you, we've yet resisted unto blood. Because why do I go to church? Because God commanded me to assemble. And why do I go to church? Because of the New Testament example. Why do I go to church? Number three. I go to church because of the meaning of the word church. You say, what do you mean? Church family, the word ekklesia is a Greek word that's found 115 times in the scriptures. Out of those 115 times, 113 of them are referring to a literal local body of a group of believers. What does the word church mean? It means a called out, what's the word?
Assembly.
Church family, if you're a called out assembly, that means you assemble. That means you come together. I think we've forgotten that the actual meaning of the word church means to assemble. And it's interesting because in Hebrews chapter 10:25, when it says not forsaking the assembly, the word assembly means this, a complete collection. Church family, have you ever tried to play a game like either chess or some other type of game and not have all the pieces? Okay, so I'm going to play chess with you. You can be the white, I'll be the black. Now, I hate to tell you this, but we're missing one piece out of our game, and it's the white queen. I hope you don't mind. That's not a complete collection then. Do you understand that when God put the local church together, he puts you together as a collection? Why do I go to church? Because of the meaning of the word church. Why do I go to church? Because of God's command to assemble. Why do I go to church? Because of the New Testament example. Why do I go to church? Number four, because the church is called the house of God. You see, what does that mean? 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Church family, what would it be if I kicked you out of your house? What would it be if I came to your house and said, oh, listen, this is no longer your house. I'm taking it over. Brother Green, what would you think? What would you think if Brother Bond, I show up at your house and I say, hey, look, this house is no longer yours. I'm locking the door. Go find somewhere else. What do you think you'd do, Brother Bond? Would you let me do that? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. There's not a person in here that somebody can come to your house and kick you out of your house. Michael and Jamie, I can kick you out. Don't worry. They live on site. Church family, just the idea of what is church, the word church is talking about the house of God. This is God's house. This isn't our house. This isn't the government's house. This is God's house. So by definition, by what we call God's house, then it shouldn't be closed. And I find out in Scripture when the house of God was closed, which is 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 7, it was because of a heathen authority that decided that they would cause the attention to be on a false god, so they had to close the house of God. But when a good king came along, the doors got opened back up. That king, I would tell you her name, but I cannot. It was Athaliah. See, you're thinking wrong. It was Athaliah, by the way. You guys are awful, all right? That is a good second name for that. Anyway, all right, so why do we go to church? We go to church, the meaning of the word church. Why do we go to church? Because God's command to assemble. Why do we go to church? Because of the New Testament example. Why do we go to church? Because the church is called the house of God. Why do we go to church? Now, church, I mean, you have to listen to this one. In Matthew 18 and verse number 20, you know the verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Now, church, I mean, I've already been handed that verse. Hey, church family, let's just go ahead and look at it, if you don't mind. Turn over to Matthew 18. I'll show you something here. Matthew chapter 18. Somebody told me just the other day, he said, well, Pastor, you don't have to meet in church. Because when two or three are gathered together, you know, God's in the midst of it anyway. So we can have church at home. Now, church family, look at Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 20 is that verse, for where two or three are gathered together. But in the context of that, look at verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto who? But if he neglect to hear the church, and be unto him as a heathen and a man and a publican, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind, ye shall bind. Now when he talks about ye shall bind, he's talking about verse 17, those that are in the church. Whatever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Church, can I tell you something? This idea of using this verse to say that mean we don't have to come to church because as long as two or three of us are gathered together, I want you to understand that the reason we go to church is because that's where God meets with us. Can God meet with you at your house? Yes, he can. There's no doubt about it. But when you look at the scripture, God showed up when a gathering of people came together as a church. I know we're not doing an exhaustive study this morning, but you know, which disciple was called Doubting? Okay? Where did Thomas get his name? It's because he didn't show up at a church service that God showed up at. Remember that service? Jesus shows up first day of the week. Disciples are all there except for Thomas. Thomas shows up the next week. Jesus says, hey, Thomas, come touch the prince. Put your hand in my side. It would be better if you could believe and not see, instead of have to see to believe. You know what the problem was? Thomas wasn't there when God showed up. You know, there's something about church, and it's a wonderful thing when the Lord shows up. Now, church family, I wish I could honestly say that every time we have had church, I felt like God just showed up. I want that. And by the way, it can happen. It doesn't matter how big the church is. We're two or three small churches can have a greater outpouring of God than some mega church. I don't know why. I don't usually mess around with the news in the morning. I don't remember exactly what happened, but for some whatever reason, I hit a button for this morning, and this mega church is having church outside, and they were interviewing him. You know, and by the way, I'm for, if you get the gospel out, let's get the gospel out. Okay, but you're telling me, this mega church, these guys are on top of their roof, and they're with their band. They got their drums and their bass guitars, and this guy's getting up there as the pastor of the church in a t-shirt, and he's going to influence, you know, these people that are in their cars, okay? Now, I know this is just me, and I know that we might have to do the car thing, and so I'm careful not to say, you know, we're not right with God, because we are going to have church one way or the other.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to get on top of the roof with my bass guitar. I just want you to feel the Spirit. All righty? But church family, if I'm in my car, okay, I know you. I'm coming for church. I'm in my car. I got my Mountain Dew or coffee or whatever you're drinking besides booze. And I'm turning the little FM. And we have an FM, whatever that thing's called. What's it called? Transmitter. So we could do it. It's not a big deal. So you're going to sit there with your little thing there and, you know, your little children in the back seat playing checkers or something. And by the way, I'd do it in a heartbeat because I'm still going to have it. I'd do it. But that's not really what God wants us to do. A called out assembly means he wants to assemble. And how do you assemble if we're all in tin cans separated from each other? You know, I was talking to Brother Daniels this morning, and I'm not going to preach on it. I don't think I'm going to, I mean, as far as a message. But I tell you, Brother Daniels, he's done this a couple times to me. He just really, I mean, brings things out of the scripture I don't even think about that are really powerful. He gets it from his wife, but. But I had forgotten all about the story about Moses. When Moses comes before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Because God has told us to separate from you and go out into the wilderness so that we can worship him. Remember the story? Do you remember what Pharaoh said after two or three plagues? Remember what Pharaoh said? Okay, you can go, but leave the men here. Moses, I can't do that. God said, we're all going. And so a couple more plagues happen. Pharaoh comes back with compromise number two. You can go, but leave the kids here. I'm sorry, we can't do that. We all have to go worship. Compromise number two. A couple more plagues happen, and Pharaoh is really aggravated. He says, I tell you what. You can go, but leave all your animals here. He says, we got to have that for sacrifice. We all have to go. You know what bothers me about what's going on right now in our Christianity? We think we're having church. But can I tell you really what we're doing? we're accepting the world's compromise. Our health department from our state, from our county, quote unquote, put their stamp of approval on having church out in the car today. Interesting, I want to say this as lovingly as I possibly can. We don't need their approval for
that's
nothing.
Right.
We have a God.
Amen.
That commanded us to assemble. I don't need you to tell me how I can have church and you're lost.
That's right.
You don't even know Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And you're going to tell me how we can have church? I'm going to tell you something. Why do we go to church? We go to church because of the meaning of the word church. Number two, we go to church because God commanded us to assemble. Number three, we go to church because of the New Testament example. Number four, we go to church because it's called the house of God. Number five, we go to church because that's where God meets with us. I'll tell you something else. Here's another one. Why do we go to church? Because that's where we bring our tithes and offerings. You say, Pastor, is that important? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If not, I will open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there may not be room for you to receive it. Hey, church family, I don't have a problem with putting my offering plate in front of you. My offering plate in front of you, because I'm going to put it in every week, okay? You know why I do that? Because God said, bring it. Church family, I can set up online giving. And by the way, when I'm dead, or if who knows, as I get old, maybe we'll do it. I don't know. But all I know is one thing. Online giving does not do what God told us to do when he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I think the word bring means bring.
Amen.
And by the way, church family, I have had at least two people, one person, actually, it's not going to hurt for me to tell you. Mrs. Compton called me yesterday because she said, Pastor, I haven't got my tithe in because she's been in the hospital. That woman's got more character in the hospital than junk. So she calls me and says, Pastor, I've got my tithe. Can you send somebody for it? We're all coming to your house this week, just so you know, if it's not in there, all right? I said, Mrs. Compton, I'd be glad to do that. So I sent Brother Myers. I said, Brother Myers will call you and he'll come over and pick up your tithe. I know what you're thinking. That lady doesn't have any money and she's 80-some years old. She just got out of the hospital. Pastor, how can you take her tithe? Because it's not mine. It's his. And by the way, if you're holding on to God's tithe, it's not yours. It's his. I remind my kids regularly because I don't want a stinking cursed person in my home. Bunch of my kids are working now, thankfully. And I asked them, you can ask them, and I won't go through them, but I asked them, did you tithe? Are you tithing? You know why? Because they're my kids, and they're in my house, and I don't want to be cursed. We ought to bring our tithes to this storehouse. And again, I know that there's other ways to do it. I've had people mail it in. That's fine. There's nothing. Church family, if you're not physically able, mail it in. But do you know what part of worship is? Part of worship is singing. You know what part of worship is? Part of worship is giving. That's why we do that. We give. Why do we go to church next? Because you are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Think about that. God hath set. Hey, church family, how come you didn't end up that where your nose is, your thumb was? Can you imagine walking around, this is how you look? You got this thumb hanging out? How come you don't have your foot where your ear is? Now, most of you have it where your mouth is, but how come you don't have your foot where your ear is? You know why? Because God set the body together. He made our bodies exactly like he wanted it to be made. And guess what? He made this spiritual, the Heritage Baptist Church, he made this spiritual body. He set the members. You said, no, I came here because I wanted to. You came here because God brought you here.
Amen.
You old timers, I love you, and I'm so thankful you stuck it out. Now listen, we have several of our older folk that are home right now, and they need to be home. And I think they should stay home. I don't have a problem with it at all. Since the average age of the people who are catching the virus and dying with it are older people, they ought to stay home. I don't know why Brother Martin's here. He's old. Guy ought to be at home. You're going to die, I tell you. But church, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. And I love, and there's some of you here, you know, God bless your heart, man. I tell you what. You know, you come, and I wouldn't want anything to happen to you, and I love you. And I tell you, you wouldn't hurt my feelings if you stayed home, really. But you want to tell you something, the old people, they want to be here. They want to be here. You're part of the body of Christ. Our older people, that you come and you can't knock on a door, but there's no doubt you pray for every member of this church by name. You older people that are living on Social Security and a fixed income, you have no extra money, but you give your tithes and then an offering. You know why that happens? Because there's a God in heaven that set you. Amen. You know why you go to church? You go to church because you're part of a body. You're part of a body. You ever gotten a splinter before? You ever got a paper cut before? You ever cut the index finger of your hand? How about that thumb that you always button your buttons with? You ever had that happen? Where it's just a small cut. You find out real fast how important every member of the body is when that happens. Church family, listen to me, and please listen to me well. Every member that is not here this morning is important and is part of this body. And it doesn't matter why they're not here. It doesn't matter if they're sick. It doesn't matter if they couldn't be here. Every member of this body is important and is necessary. You're important. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, man, alive, how am I important? I want to tell you why you're important. You're important because the pinky's important. You're important because the big toe's important. You're important because the belly button's important. You wouldn't be born without that belly button. Some of you are belly buttons. You need cleaned out, but you're a belly button, all right? Hey, can I tell you something? Every member is necessary. That's what God said. So why church? Why am I going to church? Because I'm part of the body of Christ. Number 8. So why do I go to church? I go to church because of the meaning of the word church. I go to church because of God's command to assemble. I go to church because of the New Testament example. I go to church because the church is called the house of God. I go to church because this is where God meets with us. I go to church because God said to bring your tithes and offerings. I go to church because I'm part of the body of Christ. Number 8, and I'm done. I go to church because that's where I get fed the word of God. Hey, church family, have you noticed what they said is essential and non-essential? How do you like that one? Churches are non-essentials, but liquor stores are essential. Hey, go figure. 88,000 people died because of alcohol last year alone. But that's essential. Essential. All I'm trying to say this morning is this, is that if what he said in the book of Acts in 20 verse number 28, he talked to them, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and into the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. Just remember, you know why you come to church? Is to get fed. Is to be fed the word of God. An old farmer went with his preacher to go to some conference, and the conference was about trying to get people to come to Sunday school. Coming to church. And so he sat through this conference, and boy, they had all kinds of papers, handouts, they had all kinds of speakers. You know, this is why you ought to go to church, and on and on and on and on. And the farmer and the preacher were in the car going home. And the farmer said to the preacher, he said, it was pretty amazing, but out of all the farming conferences that I've gone to, they've never given a lecture on how to get the animals to come to get fed. They come because they got good food there. And can I tell you something? You know why you come to church? It's because it feeds your spirit. If it's important for you to go to Walmart to get groceries, then I just want to tell you it's 10 times more important for you to come to church and get fed. If it's important for you to go to the Dillon's grocery store and make sure you've got milk for your cereal, I just want to tell you that the milk of the word and the meat of the word is twice as important as that. Why do I go to church? Because that's where I get fed the word of God. That's where the pastor is commanded in 1 Peter 5, verse number 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Amen. Church family, this morning, I just wanted to explain to you why you're here. And not everybody can be here. We're not casting stones. We're not being critical. I'm just trying to tell you why you go to church. Lost people are not going to understand that. Christians who want to throw stones are not going to understand that. There was this guy that didn't go to church, so the preacher went to see him. He had missed several weeks in a row. Preacher walked into the room. He invited him in. He walked into the room. It was cold that day. Guy had a fireplace. They both sat down in two chairs next to the fireplace, the pastor and this man. The fella, he knew why the pastor was there. He knew the pastor was there to say, "Hey, where you been?" Pastor didn't do that, though. The two of them sat next to the fireplace. They talked about just all little things, you know, odds and ends. But the pastor got out of his seat, went over to the fireplace, and took those tongs and took a little bit of the ember that was on the wood, took a piece of that, and inside the fireplace, set it over to the side. He went and sat down. Two of them kept talking. The pastor never had to say one thing because that fella sat there and looked at that one, because the pastor didn't say anything, but he looked at that one ember, that one piece of wood that was burning down, that when he moved it was hot as can be, but when he separated it, little by little, the fire went out of that little ember. It started to where the smoke would just come off of it, to where it finally got cold because it was separated from the heat of the wood in the fire. So, Shema, you know why church is important? The lost world has no idea. Because we as a body of Christ, of believers, we kind of feed off of one another. And by the way, that's why God gave all of us spiritual gifts, so that we could edify one another. That's why it's important to stay in. That's why it's important to stay in. Now, church family, listen, before I pray and I'm done, get your chocolate, go home. Hey, I know this is an unusual time. I know it's an unusual time. If you can't make it to church, I completely understand that, and I mean that from my heart. But please do not let the lost world and these backslidden Christians tell you how sinful you are for going to church.
Amen. Thank you.
Stupid. I say that with sincerity. I don't know how this is going to end, by the way. I'm not talking about this service. I'm talking about this virus. I don't know how it's going to end. My only concern is you. Church family, I don't know what's going to happen. Getting arrested is nothing. Getting fined is nothing. Seeing you die spiritually is everything. I hurt inside because I don't want to hurt you. I know what I have to do. This church is not Scott Hanks's, and I don't belong to Scott Hanks. I belong to him.
Amen.
But you know my biggest burden? People, I've gotten so many texts. "Pastor, I'm praying for you. I know this is a difficult time for you," on and on and on. Can I tell you what's difficult about this time? It's not meeting with a police officer. It's not the governor's order. You know what's the biggest struggle for me right now? Is knowing that there's some of you that are going to get hurt through this thing. Now the only answer to that is you got to stay in the book.
Amen.
The only answer to that is you just stay in tune with God. Whatever you do for your family, you know, once this virus is over, and it will be over, I promise you.
Amen.
I mean, unless God comes back, but I mean, it's gonna end.
That's right.
And you know what? I know there's people that are not coming right now because of their age. There's some people not coming maybe because of the governor's order. I don't know. And that's fine. When it's all said and done and it's over, Let's get back
Amen.
To church.
Amen.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Say the last phrase, ready? And so much the more. Ready? Together, say the last phrase. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is approaching? Lord's coming back. How many like for him to come back right now? It's because you don't want to go to jail. I'm just telling you what it is. I know. I got it. And you're not going to go to jail. That's not going to happen. That's for sure. Hey, church family, look at me before we have the invitation. I just want you to know something. I love you very much. If you need me for anything, I want you to call me. I mean that. I want you to call me or text me. And if you need anything, if you need groceries brought over to your house, we'll do that in a heartbeat. If you want your tithe picked up, tell me. I'll make sure someone comes get your tithe. But church family, listen, stay close to God. Don't worry. Don't fret.
Amen.
Trust the Lord.
Yep.
He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. You need to use the altar. Would you come? Maybe you just need to talk to God. God, help us.